Hi, I'm Malcolm.
Hello, everybody. My name is Harris Pick.
Yeah, my name is Miles. I go as Miles from Home.
I'm Justine Tyrell, R&B artist.
And you're listening to Background Noise, the coolest Canadian music podcast.
Thank you so much for tuning in to Background Noise today. I'm your host, Tora, and as always, I am super excited for today's episode. This episode is going to be so much fun, is the best way to describe it. We're going to be chatting with Justin and Chelsea from Weisinger. I love your quote if you go on like your Bandcamp or Instagram, and the best way to describe the music is popular music for fun people. And I love that. And I first discovered these guys actually at a sandwich shop in Ottawa called The Table. They had their CDs for sale there. And just as a side note, The Table and their sister restaurant, Milk and Honey, have the best sandwiches in all of the Edmonton and probably the world. We're going to say the world.
I checked on Wikipedia. They just changed it to world this morning.
So. Okay, good, because they are the best sandwiches in the world. But I also frequent this movie store in Stony Plain. It's one of the last movie stores also probably in the world. And these guys came and got Joe. Joe was awesome to wrap their CDs. And I was chatting to Joe and he's like, hey, have you heard of this band? And I was like, oh, I saw them at the sandwich shop in Ottawa. And he's like, you should give them a listen. They're actually really good. He loaned me some of their CDs. I took a listen. I was like, okay, these guys are actually super sick. So I was like, I got to get them on the show. And now we're here. So that's the story of how I came across these guys. But I always like to get the show started by just letting you guys tell me a little bit about yourselves, your journey with music, and kind of your shtick.
Oh, I love the shtick. I'm all about the shtick, Tora. You want to start? I usually start, but I'll let you start.
The back, the shtick, the music for fun.
It's all a shtick, basically. It's like, are they for real? Are they serious? I don't even know. I don't even know some days if I'm being serious. I'm like, is that like being sarcastic in the lyric, or is that just like on the nose? And I don't even know sometimes. So anyways, but it's fun. The important thing is like it sounds fun, you know. So I grew up, we both grew up as like church kids, you know, playing music at a young age. Like, so yeah, I grew up in a super religious home, you know, no shade if you like that kind of thing, but it was like kind of hard sometimes. Minus youth group was cool. So I got thrown into like buying a bass and quitting piano lessons in grade 6 to join the youth band. So me and my buddy Brady, we were like destined to be rock stars together and start a band. And we did in high school. So our first band was called Farewell Apollo. And we frequented Avenue Theater a lot back in the day. I'm aging myself, but we played with bands like The Red Threat, like Quinn Sirankiewicz, who now produces like Calling All Captains and those guys. So we were buddies with them. And I got to go on tour with them as their merch guy for their Western Canada tour for their first record, Trees. And that was a lot of fun. I was super medicated just out of the hospital, so like from the psych ward, which is a long story. But yeah, so like music's always been a big thing, and things kind of fizzled out with our Farewell Apollo band. We switched from like doing covers of, you know, Fall Out Boy and stuff in high school, and then our youth pastor was in a trio funk rock band and asked us to play, hey, you guys want to do a show with us? We're like, sure. And we thought we could just get away with doing covers and that kind of thing, but I already agreed to it, and it was like barely 2 weeks away, and he's like, you guys will do like 6 original songs and a cover if you have time. And I'm like, awesome. So this is kind of the funny, this is how it all started, the origin story of Weisinger. But I locked ourselves, all of us, into the choirs, into the band room in our high school in Belrose and St. Albert, and I'm like, boys, we're not leaving this place till we have like 2 new songs written. And by new, I mean like any new songs written. Like, scrap the covers, no more MCR, we're gonna do this. So we like called in sick to Safeway, and sorry Safeway, but we called in sick to our jobs and everything. We were all like cashiers or stuff, and we wrote 6 songs and had to learn to like the lyrics and the chords. I was the bass player at the time. Yeah, I think our old lead singer Scott Pedrick's in radio now. I'm not sure where he's working, but he was our lead singer at the time in high school. There was 4 of us, so Brady, me, Jordan, and on drums, and got singing. So we got it done. We played the show in like Elk Antler Lake Community Hall, like east of town, and it was a vibe. Like, I just remember the feeling of like, you know, we played, you know, in choir and band and stuff. We were choir kids. We had this idea that like if we joined choir, we'd find all the cute girls that liked, had a real good taste in music, and it was totally true. So we were naturally, the 3 or 4 of us were all in choir class and stuff, and it was a lot of fun. Yeah, that was my first kind of shtick in music. We got to perform in front of the school, so like I really didn't care about studying in grade 12. We were just like so focused on our band and like making merch and stuff and just playing like the underground, like GFCBs in the church basement in St. Albert for all these like underground youth shows, and with like James Beckix and people like that who are still doing youth stuff in the city. So yeah, then we just played shows, and then like the guys kind of fizzled out and they didn't want to keep doing music for whatever reason. They wanted to get real jobs and watch baseball games, which is fine, but like I really wanted to keep doing music, and I was kind of struggling at the time in my early 20s with mental health concerns, and I was hospitalized hospitalized 2 or 3 times at the time at Alberta Hospital for a few weeks on occasion. That's when I came out of to go on tour with the Red Threat. I was just out of like hospital for like a 3 week stint after a car accident. And I knew I wasn't going to be like super happy, but I knew I was going to be like around fun people and just kind of like sleep in the van and just help them and have enough energy to like hang out with the boys. So and just being so saturated in music growing up, like I just realized that being a music performer, I wanted to do that forever. And I kind of had a spin doing lots of video production for other bands when YEG Music was a thing and stuff back in the day, and like working with those guys doing like band videos for like the FKB and Rebecca Lapa and Martin Kerr and all these bands. That's how I met a lot of people. My whole community was just music and that kind of thing. And during COVID is kind of when lots of the video stuff kind of died down. I had taken a break from my solo music folk kind of melodramatic folk project, I guess you could say, at the time, like in 2013, 2014, I released
a solo album.
We started dating Spotify like 6 months before COVID kind of happened, and we got married on February 2nd of 2020. So I wasn't doing any music stuff for myself at the time. I was mainly just doing video, working at a big church, doing video and dating you. And it was kind of funny. I kind of felt like I lost myself, but COVID was a big wake up call to be like, hey, like you could die tomorrow. Not that I was in fear of getting sick, but like you could be, something could happen and like you could like not, you could be not existing and have nothing to leave behind. Like nothing to like, you know, I think we can leave behind money for our kids someday or whatever, but I think having a legacy of art is actually like a way that your soul continues to exist. And it's like, I don't think people realize that, how valuable that is and like how profound is, like you let things out of you that you didn't even know you could let out, that you were scared, you had to overcome and face that fear of what people thought of you. You had to face embarrassment and criticism and all that. And you like expose yourself, the deepest parts of your heart. You know, like I even wrote a song at the Alberta Hospital. It's on our first album called Love Like a Fire. It's a really finger-picky acoustic song. And it was about finding like a beautiful woman someday and just, you know, getting busy in love, you know, and just kind of how like, if you look for good things to happen, even if you're in a dark season, like that light that's burning you could turn into a light that warms you down the road. So yeah, that's kind of my story. But so during COVID, I was so sick and tired of working at this dang church doing like online services and stuff. It was just like not into that vibe. So I was trying to find my exit strategy. So like a way to like keep my sanity, being a new stepdad of 2 daughters that were in elementary preschool and being a new husband and new mortgage and chickens and cats and all the worries. And then COVID, like the only way I could maintain sanity was having a safe outlet. And I just dove back into songwriting and stuff. So I experimented a lot with my buddy, Josh LaHunta. We went to his home studio at the time and he was kind of just getting into producing for other people in 2021 and 2020. And then I met Conch, who's a good friend of mine now. And Conch did lots of the recordings on our first album, and Dempsey Bolton, who's an Edmonton kid who's in Calgary now. And I just love the power of collaboration. It's kind of like building a tree fort with friends and like that everybody gets to enjoy, you know? So yeah, I think like the real success for me isn't in like getting lots of streams. It's like the success is that like I had enthusiasm that outlived recording the song. That's like, I'm still enthusiastic about the first song I recorded, you know, on Wonderlove, just as pumped to like do more stuff. But like being in the studio and collaborating is such a, I don't know, that's the success for me, is just like, damn, that was so much fun. And like, you know, our former project Farewell Apollo was kind of cut short right before we were going to record an EP and stuff. We were actually going to record with Corin Roddick, who's now in they're really big, they're like an alt indie electro project, Purity Ring. I don't know if you've heard of them, but like we were going to record an EP with Corin, who did sound at Avenue Theater. And now I think they're still killing it doing like big European tours and stuff. So, you know, it's kind of like the what ifs of like, what if we had recorded? But it's, you know, I can't think about that. You just got to keep moving forward. And it's, you know, there's a reason that I stopped and started, but like, I'm just happy that I didn't give up that dream of doing music. And I somehow graduated from just the bass player to the bass player / lead singer, which is a really irritatingly difficult thing to do.
Right on. And Chelsea, what's your origin story?
After all that. Origin story, back to the very beginning. Well, my mom was a worship leader in church, and my sister started to play bass guitar, and my dad was the preacher, and he'd do the sound. And one day, mom, I started with a tambourine. And then one day, mom threw up her hand. She said, I know what you can get. And she drove us in the city to Old Mother's Music and got this like conga drum, and it was on a stand. So I needed a Rubbermaid stool to stand on to reach the top of the drum, because I was like 8 years old. So that's what started it. And one day a drum kit showed up, and so she's just like, sit down. And I just started playing that. And then I was homeschooled. Justin and I both were
both till grade 7
homeschooled kids.
Grade 6.
Now, can you tell?
She's like, yeah, now I know what this problem is.
But I did eventually go to public school in grade 7, as did Justin.
Yeah.
And I joined the band there in percussion. I lasted 1 year, like, just reading notes, playing the bells. And after that, snare drum all the way. Joined the high school band in grade 8. And I just played snare all the time. So it was always this rhythm, and it was so much fun. And then, yeah, drumming in church again. And that's what I was drumming in my local church when Justin and I met. But we didn't meet over music. We had such fun, long, epic dates. We just always had fun together, and it was so great. And even it wasn't really.
She had the sexiest bangs. I was like, damn. And her glasses and the bangs.
Yeah, the glasses. The how we met is a whole nother thing. But
that's a whole other podcast.
But then, in 2020, when he just needed to process and be creative and have this outlet. And I think even just our marriage really triggered it for us, him too, with the Wonderlove album, because a lot is just, just all his romance and those big feelings.
And even Wonderlove, that actually was written way before I met Chelsea. I finished it when I met her, but me and Josh had to finish the verses a bit, but me and Paul Woida, if you know him, actually were having a late night. We were longtime friends, had a late night drive, and I wrote all these songs that I wanted him to use, like Fault Line and that one, Wonderlove. And I'm like, bro, you should release this. And they never did. So I still had them just in memory from years past. So yeah, during COVID, it's let's do it. Let's record these songs.
Well, he had these songs. They were done already. And I wasn't actually committed to being the drummer, but I have this really gorgeous drum kit that's way, way too good for me. I thought, but it was sitting there and Justin's starting this music. And I know a common tragedy of bands is the drummer, whatever.
Well, it wasn't even it didn't really cross my mind until the album was basically done. I'm like, holy smokes, we have a freaking album. There's nine. I need one more song. I'll do one tomorrow with Conch. We'll finish it off. But I'm 10 songs. The theme is quite succinct and everything. And then I'm like, hey, we should just rent one of those cool drum pads and make it really complicated to learn a new thing other than just learning drums. So our first show, we rented the local Roxy Theater where we have that showcase we'll chat about later. Yeah, we booked it. I had just lost a gazillion dollars in crypto. And I'm like, well, we don't have anything to fall back on. So let's go crazy with music and let's do this thing. Cause I kind of thought I would save up and have a little bit of a cushion to just market the heck out of a song and whatever. And then that rug got pulled out from under me, literally. And I had just quit my job from Hope City in 2022, January. And I was like, holy smokes, I have to provide. And but I don't want to stop the music thing and cop out. So I just went full stop, at it head on. And yeah, that's kind of when, well, no, Martin Kerr. So the drum pad, explain from there.
Oh, I don't want to talk about the drum pad.
It was a bad experience.
Talk about the drum pad. Yeah. No, he just slowly was like, oh, can you play, maybe play this on the drum kit or that? I'm like, I'm going to need to play all the songs on the drum kit. What are you kidding me?
Yeah, because we had done the release show with the drum pad and you didn't like it, right?
Yeah, it was okay. But I just knew I had to step up and for him to be able to be successful. It's like, I might as well join him and really try to be part of this journey. Cause that was in my wedding vows is I'll creatively support his endeavors, you know? So yeah, I had to step up and do that. So learning to be a pop drummer has been fun.
But the funny story was we were opening at the Backyard downtown for Martin Kerr. And he was kind of just a smaller show with our friends, Halson Gray and Martin. And I'm like, hey, we should try out the whole drum set thing. Just for a few songs. And then it ended up being she had 2 days to learn 10 songs.
All the songs.
It was so mean. But you did, even then you did good. But I knew she had it in her. And I think the fun thing is we always push each other forward. And you can talk more. But yeah, we were always just kind of pushing each other for excellence. And for she's really hard to please with lyrics and melodies and stuff. So I fumble into really good songs because she's never happy the first time she hears it. I'm like, darn it, it's only really good. It's not amazing, is it? And she's like, eh, might grow on me. And I'm like, it's a sign. I gotta
support her. Gotta add more. But I'm not a faker.
Yeah, so.
Oh, that's awesome. I want to talk more about your music itself a little bit, and we'll spin one of the songs right away here. I want to start with your latest release, the 2025 single, and you got a cool music video for this one as well. But this is Fear-Less. So fearless, not fearless, fearless. Very, very important. And you did this with Stephanie Hayden as well, too. Why don't you tell me a bit about that song?
Absolutely. Yeah, so we were trying to do more music camps and kind of like get youth doing fun stuff in Barrhead, the town that we're pretty close to. And so we do frequent Edmonton, but unfortunately we have to do stuff locally, too, just to kind of keep things. Well, not unfortunately, but it's, you know, we're fortunate to have a community that's supportive of us. We hosted like a fall break camp for the November break last year. From the first week, they had like a week off for our school division. And I'm like, how cool would it be to do like a 2-day music camp? You know, get like half a dozen kids or whatever in the, we rented the back of the Roxy Theater because I didn't have our studio done yet. Yeah, we just brought a bunch of gear and speakers and keyboards out. So Stephanie, I hired to help co-lead it with the songwriting because I thought it'd be cool to have another voice. And also only 3 kids signed up, sadly. One of them was on my bus route and the other one was kind of guilted into it by her friend. And so there was 2 girls and a boy. So I was like, I almost was going to cancel it. And I'm like, I'm not kind of the person to quit. You know, I have a song called Don't Give Up. So like, maybe we should rock and roll. Because you don't know what's, you know, you kind of miss out on what were the good things that could have happened out of it if you did do it. So we ended up talking to the kids like, hey, what do you guys want to write about? You know, we're going to do something in the pop genre in that wheelhouse. And they showed us some of the songs they like some of the popular bands out there and stuff. And they got to listen to a song that they like. And then we were kind of like bouncing around on Splice, the app for samples and stuff, like looking for some cool hooks and kind of that idea generating software and stuff. Not AI. We just kind of like, I don't use AI. The songs would be really bad if I did. Anyways, we worked on this, the idea of like the kids had lots of like kind of irrational fears and things like that. And they actually contributed like lots of the ideas. So we were just spitballing lines that they had, ideas they had about like, you know, they feel like nobody sees them, that nobody knows the real them, and that all these kind of words float out. And then me and Stephanie just helped kind of massage them into the right format. And then like they were on the tools playing keyboard and ideas and guitar and singing. They sang gang vocals in the song in the last chorus and stuff. It was really cool because one of the girls, Lily, was really nervous to sing by herself. So we weren't sure at the time if we were going to like top line the songs and like actually sing them. But we didn't want to put the pressure on the kids. Like, hey, you have to perform all the song or like pressure that we are going to release it. There was no pressure at all at the start of the camp. But we kind of saw there was something really special here. And I'm like, this is really kind of a vibe. So like the kids actually asked, would you guys sing in the song? Like you and Stephanie should sing together and like we'll back you up. We're like sick. So we did lots of takes and got lots of good stuff from the day in the studio, and that's kind of where it came out. Like the demo by the end of the day, the parents came back to pick up their kids and they were like really shocked by how it sounded even at that point. It was like really awesome. From there I knew I wanted to finish the song, so like I already lost money on the camp whatever, but I'm like, I'm gonna pay out of my own pocket to finish it up. And I called my buddy Peter Zawalski, who's a great producer. Him and Lyndon Carter run Legend Studios downtown, just to give him a little plug. They're building this awesome second floor like studio space above another studio downstairs, just kind of by Vistech across the street downtown. I wanted to work with him because we had met at Breakout West a few years ago with me and Peter, and I'm like, we got to hop on a project together. So we went, and me and Chelsea both went to record my vocals and just kind of like get in the space with him. It was really fun, and he added so much pizzazz to the song and just some sparkle and cool stuff. And then our friend Conch mixed and mastered it too and added even some more crazy stuff. So yeah, all in all, it was just like, it had to be on the album because the album's kind of about like being, you know, a real world superhero, which isn't actually that super complicated. It's just like speaking your truth and like living with a little bit less fear each day to step out into who you're made to be and to like not care what people think and just be a big kid in a messed up adult world kind of thing. So, yeah.
I love that. We're going to spin that song right away here, Fearless by Weisinger. And then when we come back, I actually want to talk about one of the songs. I think it might be my favorite song from you guys. It is super catchy. You mentioned it already, but we'll talk about it a little bit more when we come back.
Distractions blinding my devotion. Noise is brought to you by Easy Noise, Alberta's newest booking service for independent musicians and venues. Check them out on Instagram at EZNOIZE. Get connected and make some noise. Now back to the show.
We are back. Thank you so much for tuning into Background Noise today. We're sitting down with Justin and Chelsea from Weisinger. Just this really fun, kind of like poppy band from outside of Edmonton here. One of the songs I want to talk about in particular, this is off your 2023 album, Stuck in Your Head. And this song does indeed, Mad Gets Stuck in Your Head. And I absolutely love it. You mentioned it already. It's called Don't Give Up. And it's actually featuring Jessica Skye, who I'm a huge fan of. And I've been meaning to get her on the show as well. Stay tuned for that. I'm going to try to get her on the show because she's awesome. But the song Don't Give Up, what a fun, catchy, but like good meaning song, you know? Why don't you tell me a bit about that one?
Yeah, totally. So it all kind of started, I was with Josh Sahanta in the studio. Me and Jess had met through our friend Anthony, who manages Martin Kerr and at the time. And I was doing some video for her at the time. I shot her like the song in like the river with her and the piano and stuff. Have you seen it? I directed that for her with like a broken ankle. Like, I like waddled down into the river and stuff with my friend Kyle and a great team. But I edited that and directed it. But we just became friends and I just loved her story and I loved her, you know, her powerful conviction to overcome the challenges in her life and how like she had her not give up attitude already, just so strong. And even though, you know, so many things she dealt with, mental health and everything and addictions. And I just thought, even though she was kind of in the middle of it at the time, it'd be so cool to be like, we can like have an anthem and a song that we need to hear for ourselves to like, you know, stay strong. And hopefully young people will resonate with it too. And we kind of have a dream of going to school someday. I know she's done that already, but like to go and empower young people and do like a school tour and talk about mental health and addiction and just not giving up, because like we don't get to find out if we give up, right? What happens tomorrow, if it could get better, right? So, and usually it does. Usually tomorrow is better than it could be today. So I actually wrote a book in 2019 called The Childlike Heist. Chelsea was at our release party and we had it on the pirate ship at the mall. Yeah, it was a really fun kind of memoir about my crazy, religious, weird growing up years and just like being a fun kid and like realizing how there's so many ways the world and like the grown-up world tries to beat the hell out of you with like your childlike wonder and creativity and your imagination and everything like that. And how we kind of just like are taught to be afraid. We're taught to like, you know, conform. We're taught, it's not like it doesn't come naturally to us. If we were just like out free and not in the formal system of education, we'd probably still be artists, you know? So I wanted to kind of talk to like the way I saw the world going. And the real problem underlying all the politics and stuff is that there's these mean grown-ups that never got to be kids or that were taught that they had to be these mean, grumpy, money-hungry people, you know? And it's just like, it's a big crock. I think being grown up is a big facade and it's just like, it's optional, you know? Like Fear and Sense, if you want to dumb down the message of the book and the new album message is like, growing up is an optional thing. You can be a childlike or you can be childish. You have to pick one, but like usually one is a lot more fun. I'll let you pick. But so there's a line actually in one of the, in my book actually about giving up. I had a chapter called The Karate Kiddo and it was about giving up karate when I was in grade six because I was really scrawny, like basically the first verse of the song. And it was straight out of the book. I just like, I love the imagery of the book and I always wanted to write some songs because like doing a book reading is not that fun, you know? It's like, even if it's fun literature, it's like a book signing isn't like a hype thing. So after I wrote the book, I'm like, I gotta have more fun than just write books that like nobody reviews on Amazon. I had some okay reviews, but like that was kind of the thing, was like I was discontent being an author. I wanted to like share my soul in a fun way kind of thing. So that's kind of the music segue. So I was just like, I want to songify this chapter of the book and I want to, because I think that line, I already know what giving up feels like, I just want to see what happens if I don't, is super profound. So I ripped that out of my, I ripped off my own line, I guess you could say. I don't know if I can do that, but I might see myself later. But yeah, that's kind of how it started. And then we brought Jessa into the mix. I'm like, hey, you should hop on this song and like write your own verse for the second verse. So we had some COVID Zoom calls about that and met up and recorded, and Josh helped us with that. And then I had a bunch of hands on the production and mastering and mixing, and like Dempsey Bolton actually reimagined the bass line and like did like the main production on the song, and then Conch wrapped it up and mixed and mastered it. So
right on. And I do really love that line, the like, I know what giving up feels like, but I want to see what happens if I don't. When I heard that, I was like, wow, that's deep as hell. I was like, wow, that was amazing. And it definitely got stuck in my head instantly. Another song I want to talk about off that 2023 album as well. I thought this song was absolutely hilarious. And you also have a really good music video for this one. It was called Sitcom. Why don't you tell me a bit about that song?
Yeah, for sure. Okay, so I had an unreleased, like, I had a chapter for the Childlike Heist book that totally didn't fit. It was called Sitcom, or like, or My Life is a Sitcom kind of thing. And it was kind of supposed to be like a preachy kind of like, yeah, like, you got to get out of the like rat race of the cycle of like the Seinfeld episode life and like go live your life. Maybe even read a bit of it. Like, I was trying to like, it just didn't stick as like, it was a very good, solid idea as a thing, but it wasn't like, I didn't have a book for it. I didn't have like, but I had an album for it, I guess, down the road. So I kind of just sat on like that idea. But like me and if you guys are familiar with Drew Shaka, he's from Bonnyville and Edmonton area from the FKB. So he's living in Nashville full time now. But we actually Zoom produced four songs together all over Zoom, which is crazy. That one included. So we had a Zoom call and I'm like, I didn't really have a plan. I had a few like word ideas for a song, but I'm like, he's like, what do you want to write about? And I'm like, I think I just like, my life is a sitcom. I like movies. I just like watch movies to avoid living sometimes, all the time, kind of. Surprisingly, I get anything done because I have like way too many movies. But yeah, it's kind of like I like to vicariously live through people and not be a hero in my own life and my own story. And it's kind of like, doesn't everybody kind of, I think it's a really relatable thing. It's like, yeah, it's like, and every line has to be real to me because I have to be going through this and maybe somebody else has gone through it too. So it kind of really came together in like less than an hour. You were in the room, but I think you were nearby listening in and stuff. I mostly like write the songs and just like, I record them and then be like, hey, babe, what do you think of this? And she's like, oh gosh, I have to learn that drum part. How dare you? Like Fearless, for example, going back quick. With Fearless, it was crazy. You're like pretty, would you say stressed out a bit?
Oh, it's just all, it's just new.
It was just new. Yeah, and there's so many kick change patterns.
It's getting heavier now, so I'm going
Yeah,
from,
it's getting heavier, so.
Yeah, you know, high school snare drummer to church drummer to pop drummer. And now we're getting like some heavy stuff.
Metalcore pop and whatever. Yeah. Yeah, so that, I think that I talked about it. So yeah, so me and Drew wrote it over Zoom and then I kind of let him run with it, like production-wise. We picked all the melodies kind of on the Zoom call and I even have a clip, if you go to our YouTube channel, I think, I don't know if you saw it, but I have a clip, I think of that song of us like on our Zoom call, a chunk of it, like how this kind of came to be. I have a few others for like a few other songs. Yeah, that, Drew's been a really good collaborator. I kind of find like, I don't necessarily feel like I need another person's input, but I need their energy, if that makes sense. So like I need, if we sat down to or like, and you were like, I don't know how to write a song, but like, I could make coffee and like look at you and nod and be like, ah, medication. Like literally, we could write a song together, and you'd be a co-writer and have all the credits and stuff. But like, maybe you were just like, that's freaking cool. Like, let's do this. But like, I find like in songwriting, every input is valuable. There's not like a wrong answer. There's just like what's right for the song and what you feel your soul is wanting to say. I just find like, yeah, even on Zoom, we can get really great songs. So like that one, like Doom Scroller, Soft Pillow, those were all Drew and sitcoms. So
when you have a trailer, you have to help your local thrift store, you know, pick up stuff. And help your local thrift store pick up stuff, you inevitably get a trailer load of VHS. So what are you gonna do, right?
Yeah, so like, so they, my friend Dre owns an awesome thrift store. If you like thrifting, guys, Barhead is the plug. Okay, it is the plug. The store on 4, I should have mentioned that, but yeah, the thrift store on 46th Street is like, I have a promo video for them. Look them up on Facebook, but they're great. It's like a two-story thrift store. But anyways, he was like, he kept bugging me, man, I gotta get rid of those VHSs, they're everywhere. And I'm like, yeah, there's like way too many VHSs. And he was like, would you just like, I'm like, I could take a few, I might use them for something or like watch them, you know. And he was like, would you just take all of them? And I'm like, all of them? And I forgot how many there were. I think I took out 30 boxes of VHSs and I literally filled like, you know, 4 feet high the back of our 12-foot like tour trailer. It's like, holy smokes. So then I had all these VHSs at the house in the trailer. I'm like, what the hell am I gonna do with all these? So I'm like, I got it, we gotta use them in the video for sitcoms. So the song was already done, but I'm like, this would be so fire to have like be buried in like
the Lord will provide.
So I literally like, there's some behind the scenes, I picked our like our tallest ladder, her like dad's ladder. I taped a tripod to the top of the ladder, like extending it out, and I had it on there, and like I had my iPad the controlling this. But I mostly filmed all those shots just by myself, and then I just rotated the shots digitally afterwards and like zoomed in, and like then I had to move all of the tapes, put a green screen down, and then put them all back. And then like all these like varying shots and stuff. And like if some neighbor like would see in our yard, they'd be like, the hell is that guy doing? Is he okay? Like just dumping a garbage bin of like all these like VHS tapes and
we
stuff.
Do a lot of crazy
the mayor lives next door in our summer village, and I think he thinks we're okay.
Yeah.
I think he worried when we almost drove a bus into his yard, but that wasn't that dangerous. We rolled like a
It's in the back of the sitcom video.
That bus was at her mom's house, and we got it like delivered, but they only delivered it to the top of the hill, like kind of behind our house. So we were like, what if we just drove it and pushed it? What if we just moved it enough? It kind of rolled into place, and we almost drove straight into our neighbor mayor's yard. Like she's like, oh my gosh, like trying to turn it out of the way, and he was coming outside, ready to go in his hot tub in his like robe. And stuff, and it was like, good God, there's a giant bus coming towards me.
Always fun around here.
Yeah, there's always fun. But that was to explain the bus. That, I felt that was like a necessary detail.
Okay. So.
That's too funny. We're going to listen to both of those songs right away here. Don't Give Up and Sitcom off of Weisinger's 2023 album, Stuck in Your Head. And I'm going to put money on it. These songs are going to get stuck in your head. And then when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about your music.
I was in grade 7 giving up karate. I was so damn scrawny, didn't have the body.
Lacks emotion.
Same friends coming over, only things change, same week, little older. Damn, it's so sad, but it's true. Oh, my life is a sitcom. Stress overlapping. I've been bored for 10 years. Mind crowded by fake fears. Wasting time here ain't free. Still have friends that need me. What kills you comes easy. But I could do better. My life is a sitcom. Oh, I hope you laugh. Where everything goes wrong. Sicily Netflix. That shit is a death wish. I think I'll go outside and start living my life.
Background Noise is brought to you by Easy Noise, Alberta's newest booking service for independent musicians and venues. Check them out on Instagram at EZNOIZE. Get connected and make some noise. Now back to the show.
We are back. Thank you so much for tuning into Background Noise today. I hope you're having as much fun as I am chatting with Justin and Chelsea from Weisinger. Just this really fun kind of pop band from outside of Edmonton. We just listened to a couple songs off of their 2023 album, Stuck in Your Head. But I want to talk about, I loved this EP. I thought it was hilarious. And even just the title, big fan of puns. Throwback, the covers, you did a whole bunch of cover songs. It was really hard to pick one to play because I wanted to play them all, but we didn't have that much time. But I'm a big ABBA fan. I absolutely love ABBA. So we're going to spin Dancing Queen in a little bit here. Why don't you tell me just about that EP in general and kind of your decision to do a cover of Dancing Queen.
Justin never wanted to be known as the cover guy.
Oh, God, that
was the thing at the start. He was like, no, I know people that if they started out doing covers and they got trapped doing covers. So he had to get a lot of that original, the creativity and his own work.
I take it
first.
As a challenge to like.
And we went through a long journey to figure out the sound, like, hey, that's the Weisinger sound. And then it's like, okay, well, we want more people to sing along with our songs, but we can really recognize the value that covers have, and it's already a familiar song to a new audience.
Yeah.
So it can really just pull them in.
Yeah.
So it's like, what songs could we have that we can put that Weisinger spin on that people love? We also love the nostalgia of things. It's why we love thrifting and so much stuff like that. It's like, and that the childhood, you know, like remembering your childhood and those great feelings. So
yeah,
we want to trigger that in people. And mm-hmm. That's why we finally did the covers.
Yeah, I think we realized it was so on brand. Like, we had just finished up Stuck in Your Head and we were kind of in the middle of wrapping that up. But the first cover we had recorded with Heidi was Stop Right Now, or Stop. That was kind of like one, the standalone we did. I was like, oh, this would be fun to do a cover. And like, I thought it'd be a cool way. I hadn't collaborated with Heidi before with Conch in the studio. And I just thought like her vocal cuts were so good in the song. Like the runs and stuff were just, like the Filipinos love karaoke. That's not even racist. That's just like true, right? My father-in-law married a Filipino lady. So it's just, you know, but we'd love to tour there. That'd be awesome. Yeah, we realized that it was actually so on brand to do a few covers, but like to have our actual, not just play them, but like actually have our own versions of them. And like, you know, we're not really making any money having the covers on Spotify, which is great, but it's really fun. And it's kind of like the familiarity is a big deal for people, is that like, you know, hearing a familiar song, like familiar melody and lyrics with a new person is a great way to like to cross market, and also just to like, you know, have build trust with fans, I think, is like a big thing. It's like, oh, like they're like me. I like that song. I like them. Cool. Or because I like that song, I like them, kind of thing. And I find that's happened to me before, hearing like, I think it was like Our Last Night's cover of like the Benson Boone song. I'm like, I already like them, but I'm like, holy smokes, that's good. Or like Ronnie Radke's version of like the Papa Roach, like the ballady in my world, just like going hard. I'm like, that's so beautiful. Oh my gosh. Showing our 8-year-old daughter. It's like, this is not a good song, but like, it's so beautiful. Yeah. So it's like, I love to DJ and be the life of the party. And what better? I haven't really heard, or I didn't look too hard either for like a good Dancing Queen cover, but I'm like, I'm not gonna like look for versions that I really like and it's gonna stop me from doing it. We're just gonna do our own thing and not try to like read into it too much. So that's kind of how it happened.
Dancing Queen, I like it when he does the lower tones. It's like, oh, that's so sexy. And when the odd time when he gets on the piano, it's like, oh
yeah. And Conch had the idea to like boost the BPM by five beats per minute. So it's
really
a little
dancy.
Bit like,
yeah,
yeah, it's just like, you don't know why
original.
But it's just a bit dancier than the cover, right? Or the original. So
yeah,
100%. We're gonna spin that song right away here. We're gonna dance to it. We're gonna have a ton of fun. And then when we come back, you sent me a couple songs from some other local artists, which are awesome. So I can't wait to spin and chat about that when we come back.
We'll be right back.
come to look for a key. Anybody could be that guy. Not as young and the music's high. With a bit of rock music, everything is fine. You're in the mood for a dance. And when you get the chance, you are the dancing queen.
Background Noise is brought to you by Easy Noise, Alberta's newest booking service for independent musicians and venues. Check them out on Instagram at EZNOIZE. Get connected and make some noise. Now back to the show.
We are back. Thank you so much for tuning into Background Noise today. I hope you're having as much fun as I am. We just listened to Dancing Queen, one of Y-Singer's cover off of their 2025 EP, Throwback the Covers. And there's a ton of other covers on there as well. There's also All Star, which I was really, really close to also mixing that one in. But I think we're going to run out of time eventually here. So I was like, maybe not. So you're going to have to go and listen to it yourself. Please and thank you. It's really good. But you sent me a couple other songs as well from some local artists here. And one of them was called Leave It All Behind by Eric Kane. Why don't you tell me a bit about that song and a bit about Eric?
Yeah, so I had first met Eric through doing video. I think it might have been Martin's manager. I said, hey, this band needs a videographer at their show. And I had filmed them opening for Martin. They won a contest back at the Arden Theater like years ago. But before we were even maybe dating, before, in like 2018 or 2017. And I'm like, who's this tall, handsome devil? This guy, this Eric Kane's like 6'6" or something, maybe 6'5", tattoos and stuff. I'm like, this guy's great. And they had a great sound. They were playing with their cousins, like their band Kane Incognito still. And I filmed them some videos and stuff.
Oh, I was there.
You were there. Yeah, we were there. It was a date. It was a date. Yeah. Anyways.
Because he had his guy on the Cajon.
Yeah. The Cajon guy. Yeah. So she was already there in the picture. So we'd met him the same day. And we had just stayed in touch. And I think through Martin and stuff and through collaboration, we ended up doing some videos for them. Mostly just live stuff at different shows at like the Horizon Stage in Spruce Grove and that kind of thing. And we just became friends after that. And just we've always stayed in touch. And I just really love, especially during COVID, Eric went solo with and kind of disbanded after that to just become Eric Kane from Kane Incognito. So we were there to support each other. And kind of we were both kind of starting starting up at the same time, doing our separate things, Weisinger and Eric Kane. So yeah, we've done some shows together. We've hosted him at the Artist Showcase for 2 years in a row, and he's had awesome shows there. And we just try to like support each other and like just have lots of, we have really deep chats about life and things we can't say on social media without getting hate mail and stuff. So yeah, we just love to hang out and eat really good food. And we're planning to make a series of ridiculous, silly skit, like TikTok video, like this kind of like the 5 second, like, oh my gosh moment in videos to like kind of pull you in. So we're chatting about that. And we still do video for him and photos. And yeah, hopefully, fingers crossed, someday we'll tour together, because we had a fun time selling out Barhead last Wednesday for, there's a big garden center in called De Hert Gardens in Barhead. It's beautiful. They have like Belgian baking and all that kind of stuff. Really good chocolates and tea and lattes and flowers galore. It's beautiful. There's like even birds flying around in the back of the garden center, like chirping. It's super cute. But I thought like they have enough room to do a concert because they've done markets before. So me and Eric, I helped him book a show on his tour there, his Leave It All Behind tour there. And we sold it out. We opened for him and we got lots of our friends out, and we had like 50 tickets, but we sold over 60 attendees there. So that was a fun night. And we did like an acoustic pop set. So it was very low key and
it's cajon. Our chance to just show another side of Weisinger, sort of the more unplugged. Intimate. Yeah.
Yeah. The unplugged, but we really liked it. So I'm like, it would be really fun to do like an unplugged cafe tour and just get lots of young families out, and
we're
like
always kind of wired.
We're so wired all the time, but yeah. Anyways, so that's kind of how we met. And then, yeah, the tour right now he's finishing across Western Canada is supporting that song. It's called Leave It All Behind Tour.
Right on. And another song that you sent me as well, which was awesome, was Fireworks by Cabral. Why don't you tell me a bit about that song?
Yeah, so like I actually kind of know Cabral through Eric and different events and stuff like that. He's local to Edmonton, about R&B, pop. He's such a crazy sound. Like I've seen his progression and how he's shifted his sound over the years and has really experimented with cool, like with underground, like rap, hip-hop stuff, and like everything in between. He's just such a profound, I think he's a brilliant.
He opened for Paul Wojta at the Wind Spear.
Oh
when
yeah,
we went there. That was it.
Yes,
he had Paul so Wojta. Many costume changes. I was just laughing.
He had like a ninja sword and like all these anime costumes
just
and stuff.
Very,
it was wild.
He's just an entertainer.
Very
right?
eccentric and entertaining. Yeah. So yeah, we don't hang up, but I'm trying to convince him to come see the studio soon. So hopefully we can have a video gaming bro hang and do some photos soon. But yeah, he's just a really genuine guy and really loves his fans and really loves his community and his family. And I just think he's got a really genuine heart, and his music is phenomenal. And him and Eric actually both work with Ryan Stewart out of Vancouver for lots of their recordings. Conch actually, I think, helped on Leave It All Behind for Eric. Yeah, they both work with Ryan lots, and Ryan's cut some crazy records like Call Me Maybe by like Carly Rae Jepsen and like Headley's older stuff. And yeah, just some crazy, crazy cuts. So obviously they have a lot of fun, and you know, it shows in their music. So yeah, and Cabral said the song is about just having a genuine, wholesome love where you like have somebody that to hold and you just love the heck out of them, and there's fireworks because of it. It's, you know, it's kind of like your twin flame or that kind of thing. So yeah,
awesome. I can't wait to spin these songs. We're gonna do that right away. Here we got Leave It All Behind by Eric Kane and Fireworks by Cabral. And then when we come back, we're gonna take it back to you guys, and I want to talk about one of your older EPs.
We were told to move within, leaving the descent. Yet I've been pushed down, beaten and bruised, yeah, I'll leave out all the rest. So save your short, shy, shallow breath, there's no need to repent. For without the shadows there'd be no rise and there'd be no reinvent. Right now I know it's scary, you're feeling like you're buried. It's temporary, oh, the fears won't last. Now this is your sign to leave it all behind. The things that do not serve you, unfold the redefine. The tides of change have taken space, inner peace now knows its place. Done is done, the heart has won, but the pain can't be erased. So save your short, shy, shallow breath, there's no need to repent. For without the shadows there'd be no rise and there'd be no reinvent. Right now I know it's scary, you're feeling like you're buried. It's temporary, you're the fear. Last. Now this is your sign. things that do not serve you unfold the redefined. Now this is your calling. Let the stars all realign. The breakthrough is over. Do now leave it all behind. So leave it all behind. So leave it all behind. Leave it all behind.
When we first met, it was Saturday night. I took a chance on a girl that feels right. I stay sweet, maybe put it all behind. I'm not afraid to put it all on the line. Is it safe to assume?
Background Noise is brought to you by Easy Noise, Alberta's newest booking service for independent musicians and venues. Check them out on Instagram at EZNOIZE. Get connected and make some noise. Now back to the show.
We are back. Thank you so much for tuning into Background Noise today. We were just listening to a couple songs that Weisinger brought to us, because I always like to shout out some of the other local artists as well in this episode. I think it's important to share the love. I want to bring it back to you guys and talk about your 2024 EP, I'm Just a Kid, because you, again, had some really funny songs. And the one that got me, especially because 'tis the season right now, was Taxes. I thought that song was absolutely hilarious and very appropriate for right now. So why don't you tell me a bit about Taxes?
It's kind of like I wanted to have a song, you know, it's like there's something that you look forward to or despise every year. It's like, what if we had like an anti-look forward to song that was really cringe and silly?
Christmas song for
it's
April?
Like it's like a Christmas song for April, basically, right? It's like, oh god, do I have to do that again or avoid that again? Oh my god. So yeah, that is kind of what came out of it. And I think it's like, you know, North America in general, even Europe too, has this quite a ridiculous thing going on politically. Like, I won't say say what, you know, in general, I'll just say there's lots of crazy stuff going on. And it's like, are they joking? Like, is this for real what we're funding? Is this for, like, for real what we're like, what our money's going to? And like, just to like, so these guys can get richer and mock us, you know, kind of thing. So
a lot of it is, and why we have our daughter singing in it is we really need to stop and think about what is going to happen with the future generation. What are we standing up for?
Yeah.
What do we want to leave for them?
Yeah. Or is there going to be anything left
for
them?
What do we want their goals in life to be, right?
Yeah.
So,
and I think a lot of people, like, especially the boomer generation, I've seen a lot of TikTok videos. It's like, what's wrong with them where they like think that, you know, their retirement's all about them and they get to have an awesome retirement, but like the future generations are kind of effed, you know? It's kind of like, whoa, like good luck having a pension plan for our kids or even us, right? So it's like, you can't, and that's the thing is like, you know, you could die tomorrow. If something could happen, you could get shot, you could get killed. It's like, why not live your life now and like, you know, axe the tax in your own life if that's the, I don't know.
It's part of that, like the whole childlike thing that goes back to Justin's book, even Childlike Heist, but it's that childlike mentality to make you hear the song as an adult and you think, well, what did I want to do when I grew up, right?
Yeah.
Is it what I'm doing now?
Yeah, and the shtick, like lots of bands have talked about, like, you know, you pay taxes, you work, and you die. That's kind of like the three constants in life. And it's like, what if we didn't have to settle? And like the song very much is about not settling. It's like, you know, we'll always have to pay taxes, maybe, unless Trump makes it illegal or I don't know. But we'll always, you know, we'll always have things that irritate us about the government and stuff. But like, what are we doing to make our lives better and to make our, you know, future generations' lives better, right? Not just more tolerable, but like actually something amazing. And I think, you know, it's kind of like where your perspective lies and where you choose to focus on is what kind of, which is what grows, right? And is what, and it's not so much that like reality is the same for all of us. It's really like how we perceive the world around us is the truth, you know? And that's the hard reality is that we can choose to be optimistic or pessimistic. And I want to be a hope dealer. I don't want to be like telling my kids, oh, you're going to be so screwed when you're older. And like, we don't know, but like, I just want to do things that hopefully open people's eyes to be like, wake up a bit. And also just the question, like, why am I just living to retire to barely be able to afford to and then die? It's like, that's not really a world I want to sign up for. And I'm not planning on retiring. I want to kind of keep elevating and working harder and having more fun.
Being creative.
Yeah.
I love that. Another song off of that album as well that I thought had a great message to as well. And I'm sure you got a good story about that now too, was Doom Scroll. And you also got a music video for that. So if you're liking the song so far, I implore you to go check out their YouTube channel. They have a ton of different music videos and stuff for their songs. And as they mentioned, a lot of like BTS as well too. It is a very engaging and entertaining YouTube channel. So please go check it out. It is awesome. But the song in particular I want to chat about is Doom Scroller. Why don't you tell me a bit about that song, and then we'll play both of those in a couple minutes here.
Yeah, so I'm a recovering phone scrollerholic, I think that's what it's called. And yeah, I think I've wasted most of my adult life on my phone, I think, pretty much. And maybe,
I wonder.
But I my wife kind of sometimes is like, hey, can I check your like phone use for the day? And I'm like, I would rather not feel very embarrassed sometimes. But like, I think it's just kind of partially to do like, it's an anxious response, but it's like, it's so easy to like tilt your head down and pull your hand up. And it's kind of funny how our perspective of the world can so quickly change when we're not like, because it's like 100 years ago, like, our parents or grandparents had no idea what was happening on the other side of the world that second, you know, in like somebody's bathroom. It's like, whoa, like they're like making a TikTok of them pooping in the bathroom. Like, why do I need to know that? But it's like, they were so exposed, but I think because of it, our whole society's gotten so neurotic. And I don't even know if we have the actual, like what we know, like the scientific for like the science behind long-term exposure to social media, what it does to entire societies. And I think it actually has become a weapon that they use against us to divide us, right? Divide and conquer. Because if we're always bickering, you know, with each other online, we're not looking at the bigger problems at large with the government and that kind of thing. And we're not going to rebel or, you know, whatever. So
we feel like we're doing something.
Or we feel like we're being productive, but we're definitely not. Or we feel like we're a big deal. Oh, I have a big freedom following, but nobody gives a shit in real life because you're just like online arguing about politics and religion, right? So I'm just like, I don't like picking sides, but I love making fun of all the sides, if that makes sense. Or like, let's kind of tongue in cheek, let's have some humor. Like, is it the red or the blues? I don't know which. It's kind of two sides sides of the same coin, right? So it's like, I don't know, like some days maybe you like the red, some days, but it's like, it's what the news tells you to like. It's not what you actually like, right? Or it's what social media tells you to vote for and stuff. So what if we just voted for humor instead? So that's kind of what the song is. It's a shtick and it's like, it's campy and it's very much sarcastic, but it's like, but it's also like hinted with the wake up call. It's like, what are we doing? You know, like we're all, what if we are losing kids to social media, suicide or things like that, where people are so scared of what's happening on their phone, they're not even like facing their own world or their family's existence and stuff, you know? So
we're going to spin both of those songs right away here. We're going to spin Taxes and then Doom Scroller off of Weisinger's 2024 EP, I'm Just a Kid. And then when we come back, unfortunately, we do have to wind down the show a little bit, but we will talk about and spin one more song before we do that.
They'll tax you dry from year to year. Just pay the man and live in fear. They take our money, make it rain. You're like a slave, they're playing games. When I grow up, I wanna pay taxes. Work hard, no relaxing. Lose change in the mattress, gonna help buy
all the politicians' mansions.
Another tax could bleed us dry. Oh, hear our desperate cries inside.
Politicians' mansion.
When I show up, I wanna pay taxes. Work hard, no relaxing. Loose change in the mattress. Loose change in the mattress.
Another man on the loose, giving me verbal abuse. Is it the red or the blues? I don't know which one to choose. I'm sick. terrible happen in the world today? I don't know, man. Let me check my phone.
Background Noise is brought to you by Easy Noise, Alberta's newest booking service for independent musicians and venues. Check them out on Instagram at EZNOIZE. Get connected and make some noise. Now back to the show.
We are back. Thank you so much for tuning into Background Noise today. I hope you had as much fun as I did chatting with Justin and Chelsea from Weisinger. Just a really fun band from outside of Edmonton here. And we just listened to a couple songs off of their 2024 EP, I'm Just a Kid. Just in general, I think that EP was both hilarious, but also like deep at the same time. And I've noticed that as kind of like a running theme with your songs in general. And I do want to play one more song before we end the show here. And this is off your 2023 album, Wonder Love. Let's talk about Dummy. Why don't you tell me a bit about that song?
I don't know how much I can say online. But,
Does it explain itself?
It kind
that
of
was
is.
A wild
yeah.
trip, writing the going to write that one.
That okay. That's the fun story.
It's sort of more the beginning of Wonder Love.
It
how
was.
How many songs did you have?
If we
first?
Didn't go on that trip,
no,
I didn't.
How many did
none,
we have?
None.
We went on a little trip to Okotoks to meet somebody that someone else wanted us to.
He was a big shot like hockey player back in the day.
Back in the day, NHL player that was like, oh, he's been writing songs and I think you
and
guys
he had
should
a movie
meet.
He wanted to work on and get us to do a score or
so
a song.
It's like,
in or
who
something.
Knows what the heck? So we like went to Okotoks to meet this guy, but it was just, it was a kind of a crazy time.
It was wild. There was a lot of.
We were playing what was a Weekend Attraction. You had just done Weekend Attraction. So I had my cajon.
I'd only written it. So like we played it for these like investor people in his yard over beers
room.
And a barbecue. And,
and then he was like writing music and he's like, oh, we should write a song. And they got to talking about. Well,
we just went for a walk and he talked about how he was a horrible bad husband with
bad
alcoholism.
And
he was a bad ex-husband. And then
he was a dummy. He said.
He was like, I was the dummy. And I'm like, wow, that's profound. And it's a modest way to put it. Like if you're just like, you wouldn't maybe call somebody like, oh, you're a dummy, but it's very, it lands very softly, but it's also like a really harsh word at the same time. You know, it's like dummy, you know, if you call a kid that or your neighbor that. Yeah. We also talked about like Chelsea's previous marriage a little bit. I'm not going to go into it at all, but it's just like, you know, there is
my second husband. So he can rightfully, it was really nice how he defends marriage and called my first husband the dummy.
So it was kind of like, from my point of view, Danny was the dummy. From my point of view, if I hadn't met her through the guy that was, you know, I would
husband.
Say, I would argue he was a little bit not smart for leaving her because she's great, you know, and you know, and she had children and she was pregnant at the time. And, you know, that's not even like rubbing it in. That's just the fact. He had left her when she was 6 months pregnant. Anyways, so it's like that was kind of a silly situation and that sucks. And it was really hard on her. So I'm like, I can't believe how thankful I am that that guy was, you know, a dummy. Yeah, that's kind of the song. And like, me and us and our friend hockey player had a walk and we kind of wrote it. And when he came back, I recorded a bunch of it on demo. And me and Conch did it in one take. So I didn't even have a click track. I think I just did it with the guitar and vocal at the same time, or I maybe separated. But like the take of the guitar and the vocal are like one separate take entirely kind of thing that we picked. And we had 9 songs for the Wonderlove album. And I'm like, I like that song, but I'm like, I don't know. But it's like kind of a cool way to wrap it up because I like having heartbreak songs even if it's not about me, but it was like a hopeful heartbreak song kind of. It's kind of like it resonates with a lot of people. It's like, oh, I know a dummy or I've been a dummy. It's convicting or it's kind of comforting, right? We finished that off and like at the studio with Conch, I was like, I think we have a record, bro. Like, I think that's a record. I'm like, I think we have like, I'm like 10 songs is a record, right? And I realized in that moment, I'm like, this is actually like a cohesive unit of songs. And it was like a progression of like 5 years where I'd written Love Like a Fire at Alberta Hospital years past and like Wonder Love back in the day. And it was really kind of a journey through like my post, you know, being mentally ill life of just like searching for truth and meaning and finding love and like loss and all the things in between. So it was really kind of culminating moment.
How really hard things can be worked for good.
Yeah, how hard things can work out to be awesome in the end if we don't give up.
Beautiful. Thank you so much. And before we officially wrap up the show here, we hinted to it a little bit, but I do want to talk more about that. You have a big music showcase coming up in Barrhead at the end of April here. Do you want to share a little bit about that?
Absolutely. Yeah, so this is our third year doing it. It's called the Barrhead Artist Showcase. And this year we're adding the word festival because we're doing an afternoon. So in the past, we've only had an evening performance of like 8 or 9 artists. It could be like there's soloists, duos, and bands and kind of everything in between. Our band has performed the last 2 years and we're going to do this year as well. But we have a really good variety of like folk music and country and singer-songwriter like Eric Kanan, I mentioned, has played. It's just a really fun place for families to have a safe, fun night out. Yeah, it's
we
in Barrhead.
We want to make live music accessible to people because we found, you know, in our small town, it can be difficult for people to go to the city. It can be really expensive. Mm-hmm. People from the city love to escape. And so we just want to share how Barrhead is a great destination and a great little community. And the live music can really bring people together. We just so much love to give people that experience that live music can give. And the theater is definitely a vibe. You can sit in, you know, the theater seats and enjoy popcorn and drinks and get up close with the artists. So, and then you're supporting a lot of little local businesses as well.
Yeah. So we just, all we changed this year is we're doubling up on the amount of artists by doing an afternoon family pop rock funk kind of show. And then in the evening will be country and folk again. So like people can choose to like take in both concerts with a $25 all day pass. That's in the advance. It'll be 30 at the door, but if there's any left, but we have a limited amount of all day passes and then, or it can be $15 per each event, separate event kind of thing. So there's kind of something for everybody. And we're hoping that like, it's a risk doubling it up this year, but it's going to be rewarding, I know for sure. And we've already been moving lots of tickets. So if you want to check it out, you know, Barrhead's only an hour and 18 minutes from the city, you know, give
it's
or take. It's a lovely drive. Yeah. Honestly, it's like a beautiful drive. And if you ever happen to be in the area, like come hang out and check out the fun club with us and come play some video games. We have Rock Band tour us. So you got to come hang out, bring the man over. And yeah, we're trying to make a little Disneyland oasis that's not creepy that we can just hang out at and just have like our yard has a B&B in it. And Barrhead's a cute town. Like I mentioned, the Hurt Garden Center is really cute. There's lots of fun mom and pop restaurants and thrifting is great. It's like, why not check out Barrhead? Mm-hmm. So yeah, we'd love to have you out April 26th. Our Instagram has all the links and stuff, but I'm sure you'll have links later too. And yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm going to, of course, link you guys and then I'll link that as well in the bios and stuff. So it'll be super easy for everybody to find you guys. Thank you so much for coming on the show today. It was honestly so good to chat with you. You guys are so much fun. Honestly, I can't wait for this Barrhead showcase. I think it's going to be great. This is Dummy off of Weisinger's 2023 album, Wonder Love.
Can't believe he left you like he did. The guy was such a dummy. But in retrospect, I'm glad he left, cause I'm so freaking lucky. Being with you, love, my only true love. What the hell did I do to deserve this kind of real love? To be with you, love, my only true love. What was meant to hurt and break us only turned to real love. I was living in the darkness before life became so sunny. After meeting you, my angel, living in the land of milk and honey. To be with you, love, my only true love. What the hell did I do to deserve this kind of real love? To be with you, love, my only true love. What was meant to hurt and burn us only turned to real love. You don't know how much I love you. You don't know how much I care. But I promise you this one thing, honey, I'll always be there. You don't know how much I love you. You don't know how much I care. But I promise you this one thing, honey, I'll always be there. Can't believe he left you like he did. The guy was such a dummy. But in retrospect, I'm glad he left, cause I'm so freaking lucky.
Well, that's all I got for today, folks. Thanks so much for tuning into Background Noise. I had a blast. And hey, you know what? If you're a Canadian musician as well and you're thinking, I want to be on the show, just click the link in our Instagram bio at Background Noise the Show, and we'll try to set something up.